Weekly, we focus on the work of various organizations and individuals advancing inclusion and equity in our community. This morning, we welcome Marcel Fable Price, a.k.a. Fable the Poet, new poet laureate of Grand Rapids, teaching artist, co-founder of the Daya Tribe, in addition to you, WGVU grant writer Steve Chappell, project director of the WGVU's grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation in this area of racial equity. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, and good morning to Marcel. Good morning to all of our listeners. To cut to the chase so we can get to Marcel, we are partnering with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation with one real goal, to move the needle, so to speak, to make this a more equitable place for all of our residents. Some of those are immigrants, refugees, people of color, whites, but we want this community to be more equitable for everyone. So I think we need to break down stereotypes, get in touch with people that can amplify voices, and no one is doing that better, in my opinion, right now than Marcel Price. We are going to be interviewing Marcel, and this will be on the WGVU Mutually Inclusive website if you miss any part of it.
And I'm also trying to twist his arm to be on our next community connection on behalf of the Daya Tribe. We do things in twos here. Oh, boy. Let's see. Marcel Fable Price, a.k.a. Fable the Poet. Congratulations on this new journey in life.
Thank you very much. It is an honor. It's still not even real in my mind yet. I'm still blown away on cloud nine.
Yes, because you're carrying around a lot of firsts here.
A lot of firsts. The first individual of color to ever hold laureateship in Grand Rapids, the first individual without a college degree, as well as the first individual under the age of 40 in city history.
Great. So, Marcel Fable Price, how'd you get the fable, the poet?
I got it from a writer's camp at the University of Michigan. I was failing out of high school English class, and a teacher made a deal with me if I turned in a piece of creative writing every day that she would pass me. So I did, and at the end of the year, she was like, "Do you want to be a writer?" And I was like, "No, I wanted to pass this class." So I turned in these assignments. So she sent me to the King Chavez Parks collegiate camp at the University of Michigan, and the Ann Arbor Poetry Slam team was organizing it, and they're the ones that gave me the pen name Fable, and it has stuck since.
That's great. So I'll use your cut to the chase. How did we get to bring poetry into our life then?
Poetry into my life?
Yes,
I'd say
that's a better question. How'd you get poetry in your life, baby?
I would say that that's when it started, is in high school English class, and when a teacher believed in me. Like, thank heavens for incredible educators. Like, dynamic educators are what inspire and fuel so many young individuals. So it was definitely at that moment, and that's also why I do a lot of the work that I do with the Daya Tribe, is because somebody inspired me to write and to use my voice and to show me that my voice had value, and now that's what we try to do for young people, is inspire them and show them that their voices have value.
Well, and Marcel, this is you said thank goodness for great educators, and I say thank goodness for people like you that are now in the classroom engaging and empowering students, because in my view, in this day and age, people that are holding power and have that platform and access to the media are speaking loudly and clearly, and if those are the only people that are speaking loudly and clearly, then you're going to hear one side. So how do you see, what kind of reactions do you see in the classroom when kids look up at you, see you speaking out, and realize that they may have potential and the power to do that?
It's always so incredible to see these individuals, because just recently we sat down on Mutually Inclusive, not we, but our students did a student reading alongside WEMCAT, the Creative Youth Center, and it was incredible to see these young people reading and sharing their stories. But one thing that you'll definitely notice when you look at all these individuals, directors, the directors from these organizations, is that we at the Daya Tribe look very different than a lot of the other nonprofit leaders. We have tattoos, we're individuals of the LGBTQ community or individuals of color, and we don't dress up for anything. So a lot of times when we come in these classrooms and these kids see somebody in Jordans, in Nike sweatpants, they're just like, who is this and why did my teacher bring this person into my classroom? But when they hear that it's all about getting your story out and your truth out and owning your voice and showing these students that people will listen, when they actually see that that's a possibility, their eyes light up. Like, for example, right now we're working with West Michigan Fair Housing Center, and we're teaching these young people about gentrification. We're having them write stories about how their neighborhoods are changing and how they see Grand Rapids changing. And we're also teaching them that, hey, if your parents or loved ones or friends are turned away, these are the resources that you can get, because a lot of people just don't have that, the education to know when they're being discriminated against and if there's anything that they can do about it, because so many people feel helpless. And that's one thing that I definitely try to do. I don't like to call myself an activist, but the action that I like to take is direct action and things that I know will directly make an impact without just getting mad and crying, or not crying, getting mad and using my voice about stuff that I can't directly impact or fix. And with the students, there's so much of an impact that we can make, and there's so much that we can fix and inform them about that, I don't know, they just get so excited about it. And like seeing them get excited shows me that it's working.
There's a phrase that education is power.
Yes.
And you're just you're putting that on steroids, really, by then showing kids that they can be empowered and their voice matters. If our listeners are not familiar with your work, like Race Together and some of the wonderful artistry that you've done, the spoken word, where can they go? A YouTube channel, or where would you direct them?
Yeah, I just released a new video today. And the director, the producer, the editor, the second director, they are so incredible. The team that I worked with, it was like a 10-person team, and they were so incredible. But I did a poem, God Bless America, which is now out. People should look that up if you want to see something really cool. But it's all on youtube.com/fablethepoet, or if you're on Facebook, just look up Fable the Poet, and it's pinned to the top of that page. But if you look up Fable the Poet on just about any form of social media, you'll be able to find me.
So the poet laureate hat that you wear, what are your responsibilities?
The poet laureate. So many people, I tell them, oh, I'm poet laureate of Grand Rapids. And they're like, oh, what is that? It's like if poetry was a city, I would be the mayor of the city. I am the ambassador of poetry. I am the face of poetry in the city. And I am in charge of trying to get poetry to the people, to the masses. And I'm going to do things a little bit different than any of the prior poet laureates, just because like I have a huge mind for partnerships and collaborations. And for example, this year we're working with Art Prize. We're one of the biggest education partners of Art Prize and Art Prize history. We're working with nearly 2,000 students the first 3 days of Art Prize, doing poetry workshops and showing them that, hey, you can talk about this. Use your voice to talk about what you're going through and lifting students up. I'm also doing a huge project that I won't talk about yet because they want to release it. Well, we're going to get a massive amount of people to talk about issues with mental health in Grand Rapids and activating vacant spaces around the city with heartfelt words about mental health to get other people to start that dialogue as well. And there's a bunch of other videos dropping in collaboration with local universities and colleges, and really just, I don't know, trying to make some noise.
Well, you're an activist, but in the best sense of the word. So that's really great. My hat's off to you. To put this in perspective, how many people's names were submitted and how many people were in the vying or running for poet laureate?
Yeah, how do you win?
I think nearly 200 people submitted. So there was a lot. There were 5 individuals on the panel for the Grand Rapids Public Library that chose poet laureate. What they each did is they went through everybody's kind of like resume, their CV, and they picked out their top 5, and then everybody deliberated with their top 5s, and it actually came down to me and one other individual, and then we had to do an interview off, which has never been done before. But a lot of my vision seemed kind of like grandiose, I guess. Like, I don't know, I'm a big thinker, and I like to be loud and flashy and out there. So they were like, we see you say you're going to do these things, but like, how are you going to achieve it? And I'm like, well, I'm going to work and I'm going to do it. And they're just like, yeah. Well, tell us how. And I was like, all right.
The video you did, Race Together, that resonated with me because that spoke to our geography right out this window here in Grand Rapids. So I encourage our listeners to go check that out. Race Together by Marcel Price. Now, what recommendations would you have for news outlets, for people that are victims of bias incidents? How can we work as a community to kind of get rid of some of that, those incidents of injustice and inequities? I know that's a big question, but
the issue is that you have to listen to these individuals, and you have to lift up these individuals that are talking about these instances of injustice and that are doing it in the right way. There's a lot of people who have experienced a lot of the issues I talk about in that poem, as well as a lot of other issues revolving around racial injustice in our city. And when they're talking about them, they're not talking about it for a spotlight. They're not talking about it for 3 seconds of fame. They're talking about it because they're upset. And the biggest part about gentrification that's an issue, in my opinion, is the feeling of displacement. And there's so many people that have lived in Grand Rapids and currently live in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. but don't feel comfortable going downtown or don't feel comfortable in the neighborhoods they grew up in because their neighborhoods are changing. And it's our job as people in the city to listen to these stories and to lift them up and to actually listen to the people. A lot of times, individuals in this community aren't listening to the people. And that goes on a standpoint of the city. That goes on a lot of standpoint of people in neighborhood associations. They're not listening.
And I think one of the things that in my mind is a huge problem, a huge barrier, are stereotypes. And that's one thing that our project, Mutually Inclusive, in partnership with Kellogg and others, are working to dispel, to correct the misperceptions. So we've done that with a whole host of issues, and some of which you've been involved with. And so I think if you take you and I look like a white, middle-class, middle-aged male, part of the establishment, and you look like anything but.
Yeah.
But if you look beyond that facade, here you are, the poet laureate of Grand Rapids, educating our youth in the classrooms, empowering people. So I think that whatever we can do to dispel stereotypes, by the way, to not judge people by the way they look, would go a long way toward maybe embracing one another as human beings.
And 100%. But I mean, and that's like anything is a good step forward, and that's like the baby step. But at the end of the day, this city doesn't do a great job of lifting up marginalized voices. And you guys do a great job here, but as a whole, the city doesn't do a great job of lifting up marginalized voices. I didn't even want to compete for Poet Laureate because looking at all the prior people who won it made me, it's like, I don't want to feel disheartened. Like
you're a first.
Yeah. Like I was just like, I don't want to get turned down and feel less about myself. Like I'd rather not even apply than get turned down.
But obviously you climbed over that wall.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I really look forward to seeing, though, is because that was a really big step for the Grand Rapids Public Library. But I hope that a lot of other organizations around the city follow suit, because there are a lot of very capable, very able individuals of color, LGBTQ individuals of color, men, women of color, that have the knowledge and the skill sets to do amazing things in this city. But I want to see the city start to lift these voices up.
Great. Talk about this topic of those individuals and organizations advancing inclusion and equity in our community every week with Marcel Fable Price, a.k.a. Fable the Poet, our Grand Rapids Laureate, Poet Laureate, and you, Steve Chappell, WGVU Grant Writer. Go about 3 or 4 minutes, please.
Well, I want to mention the Mutually Inclusive website, because if anyone has missed any part of this interview, you can catch it one of two ways. We're Periscoping live right now, so you can friend me on Periscope and see it that way. But if you want to hear more about Marcel in this interview, go to WGVU, the radio webpage, and just click on Mutually Inclusive. And later this afternoon, the interview will be up there. But again, can you please repeat your websites and ways that people can learn more about your work and maybe reach out to partner with you?
If you want to reach out, and please, please, please reach out about working with poets, even if it's not with me, if you're looking for a poet that can fit the message of your organization, that's one thing that I really want to push with my laureateship. So let me know what you're looking for via an artist, and I will connect you with a poet. My website is www.mindoffable.com, or you can look up Fable the Poet on Facebook, Fable the Poet on YouTube, or Fable is Truth on Instagram and Twitter.
It's a world in which we live. I know we had those in on behalf of the CYC and Triumph Music Academy. The kids put together a pretty cool poetry
Collaboration.
And yeah. So we had that done. So let's continue that journey. All right. Go out and make good poetry. It doesn't have to rhyme, right?
No,
poetry,
it does not have to rhyme. Right. Poetry doesn't have the rules that people think it has.
Good. All right, man. We'll get you on our community connection at one point. And Steve Chappell, again, a weekly basis, yes?
That's right. I got one question. Have you reconnected with that teacher that challenged you to go out and connect with U of M? And now, are they aware of what you've accomplished?
I have. Miss Whitley at Lincoln High School. I have connected with her. I feel like I've wanted to go back to the school and do an assembly or a workshop there like I do in so many other places, but then part of me is really worried to be in front of a bunch of students and be like, hey, this teacher broke the rules, so maybe I want to like leave that part out or something. Yeah. But no, I've messaged her and let her know that, like, thank you so much, and the lives that have been impacted from her making that choice is incredible, and I just thanked her for being incredible, and she was like, thank you so much.
But what a teacher. I don't think that's breaking the rules. That's a teacher in the best sense of the word. They reached out and motivated you in ways that you learned the best, and look at the results. So that teacher must have had a lot of insight.
That teacher got you on the radio. Thanks, guys. Take care to you. Yeah.